Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern, here with Gray Albright. We got our 2017 end of season review, not quite the finale. We got that coming next week, but what's up, Gray? It's been a fun year. It's been a long year.
Yeah, it's been a long That's like the worst compliment ever.
No,
it's been a long year.
It's not like when you climb up a mountain or you finish a marathon. You feel like you accomplished something. It's not like it was nothing, you know?
It's like, man. Well, I wouldn't say the sex was good. It was long, though.
Well, it's like saying it's interesting, maybe.
It was an interesting year we had.
It was both. You know, you want a sense of accomplishment at the end, you know.
It's like when I, when someone, because I'm obviously, I have a lot of people who do, I have friends who are, you know, on TV or movies or whatever. It's like, oh, did you see my guest spot on Young Sheldon? I'm like, yeah, it was interesting. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was good, but it was interesting. It's a way to bridge the gap between commercials. You know what I'm saying?
your sounds way worse than mine. Mine, I'm looking for the payoff.
My wife, who I call Coogs, Coogs recorded Will and Grace because she was a fan of the original. She was like, do you want to watch it? I'm like, I'd rather do anything else but watch Will and Grace.
I don't blame you. I never watched the first. That's not, I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm bummed about Tom Petty.
That was horrible news.
I know. It was like a gut punch because I'm a huge fan. I went to see him one time in concert like 10 years ago. It was me and my buddy. He got tickets. And if you knew him, he's like everything that could go wrong goes wrong kind of guy. You know what I mean?
What's the law called? It's called slipping my mind.
Yeah, Murphy's Law.
So
he got the tickets and he was like, you want to go see Tom Petty? I was like, yeah, of course I want to see Tom. I love Tom Petty. Yeah, I definitely want to go see him. So we went to the Staples Center to see him, and it was right when he left. He released The Last DJ. God, this is like,
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, he just released The Last DJ, which was a good album. I liked it. But you go see Tom Petty, you want the Tom Petty hits, you know?
You want the hits. Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, so he got tickets for, little did we know, we went to see the taping of The Last DJ live CD. He played from song 1 to song 12
of the album
and nothing else. wait, no, I want to hear, please, Last Dance of Mary Jane.
Well, now you can look back. Is that the only time you saw him live?
Yeah, I think so. I don't, you know, it sounds like a really old person comment, but honestly, I've been to so many, like, you know, like these festival type shows. He
Yeah.
might have played somewhere else where I went to Austin City Limits a couple times. Like he might have played one of those other shows, but I don't think I saw him any other time. I think that was the one time I saw him, and it was real. It was, I mean, I love him, but it was a little disappointing that we didn't get to hear any of the hits.
Yeah,
But
that
yeah,
sucks. I'm a huge Tom Petty fan
I
too.
saw Bob Dylan at Austin City Limits, and I would have bet money that Tom Petty would have outlived him. Bob Dylan looked bad, and this was like 10 years ago. He looked terrible.
I mean, Tom Petty looks like he's in good shape. I don't think he was like was he a drug actor? I don't think there was anything like obvious. It just seems out of nowhere.
Nah, I think I mean, probably weed, but besides that, I don't think he really. And I mean, I'm not anti-marijuana person, so I don't think any. I don't think drugs had any bearing on the on his passing. It's a long. And maybe he drank a little bit, as any rock and roller would in their 20s. I don't know, but yeah, it's a
Yeah, it's
shame.
just sad. It's out of nowhere. And plus, the Las Vegas thing is terrible too. There's a lot of downer stuff going on today.
And the end of the baseball season, which is
Oh
total.
yes, equal right up there with the end of the long baseball season, I think you meant. The long year. You write every although you still write every day. So into the off season, you still do an article a day, right?
No, I'll do no 5 days a week. Yeah, I'll do Monday through Friday. I mean, honestly, I blink and the season's over. Because I'm writing every day, whether it's in season or not. So what the season really has no bearing on, me all that much. I kind of am bummed that it's over, to be honest. It's nice to have, from seven to 8:30 or 6:30 to 8:00 usually. I'm writing the roundup every day, so from 6:30 to 8:00, I no longer have to do any work. I'm free.
Well, that's possible. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs, obviously. Yankees playing game, or they call it a playoff game, but it's like a playing game for me. That's Tuesday. And yeah, other than that, I mean,
Think
this is
about
I've been doing the podcasting now. Yeah, this is like a full year. I've been doing writing the year before, so for me it's I'm definitely ready for a break. I'm definitely ready for a break.
What do you think about the play-in game? You like that?
Do I like the new? I like the new wild card just because it adds more action, but I don't really think about it as. To me, it's like, NCAA tournament has the play-in game. I look at it as the same way. It's like it's a one game to see who actually makes the real playoffs. It's exciting. Yeah, I'm into it. Are you not? You're not into the extra wild card?
No, I like that. I'd actually prefer if it was a three-game series. I feel like one game is it's a bit of a I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a rip for these teams. It's really like it doesn't feel right to have 162 games and then have one game.
Yeah, I guess those teams didn't win the division, so it's like you get a bump for winning the division. It's kind of like a punishment for now. That's why I don't look at it like a real playoff game. It's one game to see who makes it. But this year is the worst because the Yankees had such a the twin. There was no really second wild card team that was deserving, so it looks worse this year than even other years.
No, I guess that's true. I don't mind. I personally, I don't care if they let in another two teams into the playoffs, but I feel I mean, basketball is kind of ridiculous with like 6 weeks of playoffs, but it wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be terrible if they at least gave the guys what at least best out of three, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel
no, I'd
like,
be cool with best of three too.
yeah, I mean the best of three already feels super lucky in baseball, whereas like up to I mean I feel like best of seven's really the only judge that feels completely fair with baseball, because you get a couple. You get a couple lucky breaks in baseball, and you win easily two of three games, and the series is over.
Easily. Even best of seven is, baseball is one of the most lucky random playoffs. Even best of seven for baseball doesn't do it justice, kind of.
No, completely. Yeah, no, there's a ton of parity too. I think baseball. I mean, I love baseball, obviously, but I think baseball, for all its flaws, at least has the drama of October, and anyone can win on any given day. And unlike football, where I feel like, yes, I mean, obviously I don't know football that well, but, and yes, any team can win on any given Sunday, but it's always the best team. I mean, there's a reason why people bet on football. The best team usually always wins in football. Like, you rarely get these like insane upsets, whereas baseball, just drop. I mean, anyone can win tomorrow.
As someone who plays Football Survivor, which is for years in like these monster pools that have like $900,000 pots, I have been at the losing end of every crazy upset you could imagine. So I've felt any given Sunday, but I definitely get what you mean. Baseball, any day for sure, anything could happen. It's the most random sport there, at least American sport.
Right. It's not. I mean, not that. You know, fantasy's not random. We can, you know, let's discuss how well I did in my Tout Wars
dominated all year, too.
What? Since, like, May, man. I was in first place since May by, I think, 10-plus points. It was never even close. You know what's super, like, I don't want to couch my comments too much, but you know, it's super obnoxious.
No.
Okay. Here, I'll lay it out for you. So every league you email the winner of the league in these expert leagues, you just do it. It's just something you do and you're just being nice. And it's like, you know, good job, blah, blah, blah.
We do that in most of my leagues, but I just had a couple of, you know, win congratulation email chains going.
Of course you do. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so yesterday, Lenny Melnick, who's super nice, good guy, maybe we'll have him on the podcast sometime. He sent me an email congratulating me, and he had, you know, the whole league on the email chain. Not one person said congratulations since yesterday.
Wow.
Not one person outside of Lenny Melnick. Now, I will say Mike Gianella, who's also a nice guy, a baseball prospectus, he tweeted out from his own account, but, you know, whatever. He tweeted that congratulations to me. So that was, you know.
I count that fully.
Yeah, no, totally. That counts. I count it as well. But no one else can even bother to say congratulations. Like, even there's the Tout Wars itself tweets out congratulations to a winner. And even in that tweet, you can't reply to that tweet and say congratulations to me.
Have you congratulated every winner previous?
Come on, of course. It's like, that's a no-brainer.
You feel disrespected. I mean, you feel a little disrespected.
Not only that, it gets even better. Tout Wars sent out a tweet today of the standings, and in the post, they say great job to Rudy Gamble. What the fuck,
Did he win?
No. Well, he won his league, but they were talking about my league. And they called me Rudy Gamble.
So like, they didn't even get the right Razzball participant correct. Yeah, you know, I'd feel a little slighted. Like, what the fuck? You just dominated the whole league.
I know. I tweeted back at them. I was like, I said something real snarky. And Rudy texted me. He was like, you don't have to call anyone out. I'm like, all right, but it's fucked up.
It's like, how many points would I have to win by to get a congratulations? 27, not enough? How many? You dominated. How many did you win by?
Up until this year, no one had won by more than 17 points. I won by 27 points.
Maybe, do you think they don't want to hype up that you won so much? Like, that's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a reason.
Man, I won by 27 points. You can't find fantasy leagues where anyone wins by 27 points, even if it's one guy and 11 robot teams. You cannot find 27 points. Is insane.
Like, are those money leagues? You get anything but just the satisfaction?
Now, Rudy said that I should be getting a check, but I don't even play for the money. I don't even know. Honestly, I have no clue if there's money involved. I really don't know.
Yeah, you feel slighted.
Yeah, I I mean, I beat the second place team in homers by 63 home runs. it's an NL only league. I was 63 homers up on the next team. It's like breaking records by far. I didn't just beat people. I broke records.
Well, now you got to play next year with a chip on your shoulder too. Well, now if you don't win next year and someone who didn't congratulate you wins, now you're gonna have to be silent.
I'm not. Actually, Halp, to be honest, I play everything with a chip on my shoulder.
You go through life with a chip on your shoulder. I think it's a positive.
Yeah, I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm last night. I was like, God damn it, I'm way too similar. I have a chip on my shoulder with everything.
I didn't catch Curb yet. I'm gonna watch it tonight probably. nobody does like Larry David.
Yeah, you didn't watch it.
No, I'm watching it tonight. I have it, DVR'd.
Yeah, he had a thing where it actually reminded me of something that happened to me. He had a thing where he didn't hold the door open for a lesbian because she didn't necessarily fit the type of person that he would hold the door for.
Right. I'll have to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so at one time at the bank, I was holding the door for this older woman, and I held the door for her. She walked in, but then she got in line in front of me, and I was like, hold on a second. I held the door for you. I was here first. I was just being nice. I should be in front of you.
Yeah, that's happened to me. That's happened to me a ton. That's always funny. The other thing that always happens is I'll hold the door open, but like the person's like too far away, so they have to start jogging to get to the door, and then I feel bad. So that's like now, like there's a certain feat that if they're too far, I don't even hold it. Then I feel like I'm kind of being rude.
People were yelling. People started yelling at me in the bank. One person was like, "Who do you think you are, Prince Charles?"
My God. That is a curve episode. If people start yelling at you too, that is perfect.
Oh, it totally is. Oh, man. So anyway, yeah. And I also I won the RCL league with Ralph. But
Ralph will come on. You could gloat when he comes on in 10 minutes. All right, that was.
Yeah, I feel bad about gloating. Ralph, I feel like he's upset over it. I don't even know if I can gloat with him. I'm trying not to push too many buttons here.
He came in second, right?
Yeah, he came in second, but you know, I coasted for a while.
You dominating? What league didn't you win? What?
I didn't win the CBS leagues. Actually, the leagues I usually do really well in, I didn't do so well this year. CBS, I think I came in like fifth or something. But Lance, one of our writers, won that league. Lance
Brzezowski, I think.
Yeah.
Lance is the man.
Lance won it. I also won an NFBC league, which I think that league pays out money too, but I don't know. I honestly don't really play for the money. I play more like if someone bet me $1, it would be like trading places. I would be like, let's go, let's do it. For $1. I don't care. I just want to beat people. I don't even care if it's for money.
Yeah, it's for the pride. All right, before we get into the end of season stuff. Let's get into SeatGeek, the number one ticket buying app in the world. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I could instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to that playing game I was just talking about, Yankees Twins. So hardest ticket to get in town. SeatGeek makes it so easy. I got great seats. This is before the Yankees extend the netting out and ruin the views, even though it's the right thing to do because people can't get hurt. So I'm getting my unobstructed view Yankee ticket for the playoffs tomorrow night. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek rates every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, you guys get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZMLB. That's RAZZMLB. That's promo code RAZMLB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks for SeatGeek too for a great year. We got one more of them. All right, let's get into the end of season review. I know you have your post is going to drop right before this, right?
Yeah, it'll be up. It'll be the post right before this podcast post. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's start right with the Fantasy American League Most Valuable Player. You're giving it to Jose Altuve, even though Aaron Judge is right there. But you're not going on value. You're giving it just who is the best.
Yeah, I think Judge for value is so far beyond anyone else, definitely. I think him and probably Cody Bellinger for the price you paid in redraft leagues, which obviously the price was next to nothing. I got Aaron Judge in my NFBC league in like, I think around 250 overall or something. I mean, you didn't pay anything for Judge.
Actually, he was undrafted in some leagues.
Oh, totally. Yeah. In a lot of redraft mixed leagues, he went undrafted. You could have had him in every league. Ralph actually got him in our RCL league in, I think, the last or next to last round. You could have gotten Aaron Judge probably off of waivers in a bunch of leagues. I think for like Aaron Judge is probably going to be on a lot of teams that won this year just because of the price you paid compared to the value you got. And looking back on it, one more thing about Aaron Judge before we actually talk about the guy who won,
the winner,
who was Altuve. With Aaron Judge, I think you look back on it and you're like, how did we miss him so much? Like, where was the disparity in reality versus what we were actually doing during the draft? And like, how did he go so low? Like, were people under the assumption that he was going to platoon? Were they thinking he was going to hit 30 homers and 190 average? Like, what you tell me, Hal, what was it that like drove people away from him? Because looking back on it, it's like seems so obvious.
Well, I'll start by patting myself on the back. I was the high guy on Judge when everyone was jumping off the ship because of the plus 40% strikeout rate in a small sample. So that was it. He struck out like over 40% of the time. His minor league power numbers, he only hit about 20. So it's not like Hoskins hit 38 a few years in a row. So his minor league power numbers were mediocre unless you watched him and you were like, this is a beast. His power is clearly going to play. It's the high strikeout rate and a small sample is what did it. And you have to protect against that. Like Trout had a really small sample size. He did horrible his rookie year. It probably diminished his value a little bit the next year. I forgot where Trout went. But Judge, it was the strikeout rate. But like I said, I'm patting myself on the back because I held strong because I love the exit velocity, which when he did hit the ball last year, he led the league in exit velocity last year too. And I was obsessed with, you know, guys with bat speed and exit velocity. I was obsessed with all that stuff. So I was still high on him. But for redraft, I have to admit, yeah, I wasn't grabbing him either. I was thinking more long term. No one saw it coming. I think it's impossible to see it coming, really. How can you predict that?
Nah, I don't think you can completely, but I think looking back on it, it's even hard to understand why he wasn't every single person's sleeper, because if you put eyeballs on this guy, he's obviously a beast. Like, he can easily hit 40 plus homers, and even if it comes like I was like excited about Joey Gallo at the end of drafts because I felt like he could hit 40 homers. Even if the average is bad, he's going to hit 40 homers, which he ended up doing. But Aaron Judge is the same. There's nothing that you look at with Aaron Judge when you're watching him hit where you're like, well, he may not hit 40. Like, of course, if he hits only 30 homers, it's going to come in 220 at bats. I mean, there's no way he's hitting less than 40 home runs if you look at him. So. Like, that alone, I feel like should have been on more radars. Like, I'm saying about myself, I also goofed in my ranking of judge. I should have been more aggressive. I dropped the ball a little bit. I mean, I'm sure I highlighted him a few times in the preseason saying, if you need power and nothing else, grab Judge, because I drafted him myself. So I know I liked him. I just don't think I liked him quite as much as I should have this year. So that's a demerit, I think, on me and how much I pushed him. So anyway, Jose Altuve.
Matt Chapman could be a guy like that this year who gets underrated and has 40 home run power and crushes the ball. It's not going to be Aaron Judge, but I think, you know, with people focusing on Matt Olson and Rhys Hoskins, I think Matt Chapman's a guy you can get for cheap that could hit 40. So
right. Maybe, yeah. That's a fair point. But if you look at Matt Chapman, not to go against what you're saying, but you look at Matt Chapman, he's not Aaron Judge. You can look at Aaron Judge and be like, that guy is going to hit home runs. No matter what else he does, you know Aaron Judge will hit home runs.
Exactly. No, not Aaron Judge. Matt Chapman's not leading the league in exit velocity. He hasn't led the league. But just a home run guy who's cheap. But Jose Altuve, right. your actual winner. I mean, are you taking – how about like him versus Goldschmidt next year? Is he after Trout? Is he the guy?
Ah, man, it's tough because he's got 2 years now where he's done virtually the same thing. So there's a point where you got to be like – you got to stop saying the power, the 25 homer power isn't real and just be like, you know what? He's a 25 homer, 30 steal, 330 hitter. And you just got to accept that and be like, you know what? I think that's a top three guy easily. Whether or not he's above Goldie, I don't know. I would guess my top three would be something like Trout, Goldie, Altuve. But you know, we'll do our 2018 mock draft next week, so we'll go more into that then. But for Altuve, yeah, I mean, he did everything once again, just across the board, like five categories. He had 24 homers, 112 runs, 81 RBIs, 32 steals, and a 346 average, easily lead in the league in average. And, you know, it's right now average is down. I was saying to Rudy, you know, he does in the offseason, he looks at like he combines all – I was saying this to Ralph actually. Rudy combines all of the RCLs and we get an idea of like what was up, what was down. Homers up. Speed down, average down, is
strikeouts up. I'm sure.
Yeah, strikeouts up. Those across the board. That's kind of where we're at. In a general sense, Rudy in the offseason will go through and more in depth because that stuff that helps. You know, it helps with the tools and it helps everything else. So he does that every year anyway. But yeah, Altuve helps you as much as you can be helped in average, which is a down category for everyone. He helps you in steals where he almost, you know, like how low steals are this year. I mean, he's giving you as many steals as the guys you're getting for like Sagnoff. Like Altuve's giving you basically what you would want from like a Jared Dyson who gives you nothing but steals, you know. So Altuve's giving you – he's giving you steals. He's giving you average. And he's definitely giving you runs. And then homers, he's not hurting you. That's for sure. He's probably, you know, I'd say, let's see, on the player rater for homers, he was a three. He gave you $3 in homers. So that's not a negative. That's fine. I mean, that's about, you know, it's a little bit less than, say, Chris Bryant, which, you know, I mean, Chris Bryant, really, you know, he was going for about the same price in the drafts last year. So you're, you know, Altuve's definitely, I mean, he's easily the most valuable for the AL, just for money wise, like for value, for fantasy value. Like we were saying, Aaron Judge easily beats him if you're talking preseason versus end of season value.
Yeah, I think the NL most valuable player is more interesting because Charlie Blackmon ended up number one and I know we're going to do our mock, so we'll see where they're going. But I think the question is, so you already mentioned you're probably having, you know, Trout, Goldschmidt, Altuve. Is Blackman now cracking that top 10? Because in the RCL, in one of the RCLs, I got him at the top of the second round this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, I didn't mind Blackman coming into this year. I didn't end up getting him in any leagues, unfortunately. I was shut out of Blackman, but I did like him. I didn't mind him coming into this year. I think, I don't know, it's hard to say exactly where people are going to start ranking, you know, 6 months ahead of time to say, like, Blackman will be overrated or underrated. My guess is right now he might be a little bit overrated because, I mean, he hit 37 homers and came in 137 runs and a 331 average. So really, like, peak numbers across the board for him. And he didn't steal as much. So if his steals stay the same, which you would imagine – because he's 31 years old. So if his steals stay at 14 steals and his homers come down to more or less where they should be, which is like 24 to 27 homers, then you're looking at more of a second rounder versus a first rounder. So I think Blackman might be a little bit overrated. But
I think people were also afraid that he was going to get traded out of Colorado, and that might – that fear might subside a little bit next year, although maybe they'll suck next year and that'll be the year he gets traded. Because the beginning of the year was Blackman being traded was kind of like a major storyline, which would – he's the type of player where it won't kill his value, but it would hurt, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. No, he goes – I mean, if he goes even to, say, the best-case scenario, Yankees or Red Sox, let's say, he's still dropping – he's probably still going to drop at least 10 homers and – 20 runs and 20 RBIs from this year, I mean. And, you know, and maybe the steals, maybe they go up a little. They'll probably vacillate between 14 and 19 on the steals. I don't think he's necessarily as low as a 14 steal guy. It just was this year because he was hitting for so much power. I guess he didn't run that much, but you know, he's not going to steal a ton of bases anymore because he is 31 years old, like I said. So he's probably never going to get – I don't think we can count on more than 20 steals. Like, and if – you know, if anything else hurts, like if he gets a little bit unlucky on average or the homers come down, like, yeah, I mean, I don't love guys moving into their 30s in general. So I'm not a huge – 2018 Blackman fan, but I did like him coming into this year, and he had a phenomenal year. I mean, across the board, he was the number one player in baseball. Forget just the NL. He had, you know, he scored the most fantasy points for anyone, for any player, hitter or pitcher, AL or NL. He was easily the best. He had $45 in value. Second was Paul Goldschmidt with $44 in value. So, you know, if you round those, Blackman had $46 and Goldschmidt had $45. But yeah, they were neck and neck the whole year for top two, with Giancarlo at third, and then Altuve, Judge, and then the first pitcher is Chris Sale. But yeah, I like Blackman. I think he's probably he'll probably be a little bit overrated next year.
Yeah, before we bring Ralph on and get to some pitching, I feel like we got to talk about Giancarlo Stanton, who finally fulfilled the insane promise. I feel like 50 plus is a reasonable projection for him next year. He's that much of a beast. Is that too crazy?
No, it's not. It's whoa, hello. That was a hello echo. Did it? You hear that?
No, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Giancarlo's, he's like, I mean, I look at him like, you know, he also, I mean, he actually resembles Aaron Judge, or reverse, Aaron Judge resembles Giancarlo. So, yeah, you look at him and he's like, he's easy 45 plus projection guy. It just, you know, he has to stay on the field. obviously he played for, what, like 7 years before he really fulfilled his promise. So, there's definitely some caveats there, but I how much I love Giancarlo. He's my bae.
Stanton or Blackman before we get Ralph on. Last question for next year.
I have to go Stanton. He's got 4 years on him. He's got easy power. I don't know. Probably pretty close. Blackman, I feel like has a little bit more downside from this year, where Giancarlo's hit his 27-year-old sort of the years when the baseball player really falls into their prime. So Giancarlo could do this for like another 3-4 years, what he did this year, and within reason, maybe 53 homers next year, maybe 58 homers the year after, but he could do this for a good 3 to 4 years where you're just like, wow, Giancarlo is one of the best hitters we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's bring in Ralph. We'll talk about AL Cy Young, NL Cy Young, some rookies too, and some least valuable players as well. All right, stay with us. 2 seconds. Ralph Lifshitz of Razzball.com.
Ralph, oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh,
Ralph.
Wait. You guys want to hear a good story?
Yeah.
Just to give you some fucking material. So I came home at lunch today to go for a run because now that I'm in the off season, I need to fucking get back in like actual good shape again. So I came home. I'm going for a 3 mile run. I'm a mile and a half in, and I fart all the time when I run, like nonstop. I fart all the time. I'm sure Gray's don't knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure you run what 5 days a week, so I'm guessing that you probably fart on a regular basis in the treadmill. Happens, right?
Yeah. I feel like this should be on the podcast. Are we recording this?
This is recording. Good story.
And I can tell the story again. It's fine. So I have a fart. I'm about a mile and a half in. So I'm a mile and a half from my house. I'm right in the middle. Like, whether I turn back and go the way I came or finish out my route, it's the same. I fart. And for the first time in, like, my entire life of running, I shit my pants.
Oh my God!
I fucking had diarrhea. Like, it wasn't like crazy bad, but it was enough that like it squirted out, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Oh, come on! How do you shit your pants, man?
Did you?
I had to run a mile and a half home, like not knowing what it looked like either. It turned out it was just like a wet spot in the back of my shorts.
Oh, man.
Dude, I was running through my neighborhood, like running past my son's school, like past my neighbor's houses.
Oh my God.
It was like 12:30 in the afternoon. I was so embarrassed. I got home and like cleaned up and like I just sat there like, how old have I gotten? I'm 35 and I'm shitting myself on runs. This is bad.
I haven't shit myself in a while. That's a good story, Ralph.
I think the last time I shit myself, I was in like third grade. I think it was in third grade, and I got like I got legitimate diarrhea like in class. It hasn't happened to me since.
I think I shit myself in high school drunk. I was like, I just couldn't find a bathroom, and I was like, ah, fuck it.
That's different. That's intentional. This was like the bucket list, Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson, never trust a fart. That's what my dad said to me. I told him about it, and he was like, this is like the bucket list. You know what they say. It's now you're getting old. Never trust a fart. Never trust a fart. I was like, holy fuck.
That should be your bumper sticker. Never trust a fart.
I had an old roommate who nicknamed Blackout Blake, who used to piss and shit his bed when he came home.
Why do we not have Blackout Blake on the podcast?
Oh, he's not a baseball fan, but he's a riot. He's hysterical. He lived in LA for a while. He went to USC.
Oh, nice.
He's got that LA personality. All right, so let's just continue on that path. Let's start with the least valuable player. Because that's the least valuable story. Funny story. Miguel Cabrera, horrific this year. Ralph, is this? Did you have him? I think you drafted him in one league, right?
I actually drafted him on one of my best teams. But I think first base was so deep because I there wasn't a redraft league where I wasn't like right on Cody Bellinger. Like I he got called up and I added him and then told everybody he got called up and then people started adding him. Like luckily for me, I had Cody Bellinger. And there was a ton of depth at corner infield this year anyway, guys like Travis Shaw, and I supplemented it that way, but Miggy could have killed me. If I hadn't been so quick to grab a lot of the smoke, some of these guys that were waiver wire ads that ended up having 30, you know, homer seasons, I would have been cooked in that league. Yeah, he's about as bad as it gets, because I think the thing with him too is when you talk about some of these other guys that could be that were drafted highly that had really bad seasons, he's plug and play. Like, you just think he's going to come in 330, 100, right? Decent run total. He's not going to steal, but like he's a baseline floor player. So you thought you were getting consistency and being somewhat conservative by grabbing him probably in the second round, and he burned you. Yeah, what an awful season. I would say that he, with expectations, with floor factored in terms of, you know, why you draft him to what he produced, I think he's got to be the least valuable player in the American League.
Yeah, great name, least valuable player. I know he wanted to name Rougned Odor least valuable player, but he put him in the piece of shit category.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think most people were drafting Odor as high as Gray was. You know, obviously it didn't burn him. The guy had a great year. But Odor in most leagues that I was in was going in the fourth or fifth round. And I thought I was getting a steal. There was one league where I didn't do very well in, and I had co-managed with somebody else. So I'm not going to put it on my record. But we had drafted Odor in like the fourth or fifth round. Like, it came back to us. We had sandwich picks or whatever. And we were shocked we were going to be able to get him that late. And it still was a shitty call.
Yeah, great. Did you draft Cabrera anywhere? Where did you rank Cabrera sticking, in the beginning of the year?
Sticking with the shitty theme. I think I had Cabrera around where the consensus. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I was prescient with Cabrera. I had no clue he was going to be this awful. I agree with Ralph, too. I mean, it's like one thing if you're like, you take a flyer on a guy like, say, I don't know, Aaron Hicks. So you take a flyer on a guy or something and you expect something. And you get nothing, and you drop him, and you don't look back, and you just move on. But with Cabrera, you know, like Ralph said, he's such a plug-and-play guy that you're like, okay, I got first base locked up. Let's see what I can do for my corner spot. And then you're like, you know, in May, and you're like, okay, Cabrera's going to come around. He'll be okay. I know he will. And then you get to June, and you're like, okay, so I guess I could start looking at football rankings. Like, you're done. Like, it's really hard to bounce back when your first baseman gives you absolutely nothing. Like, if you wanted Castellanos, you know, or if you wanted someone to like fill in, they could have. Like you could have filled in for him, or like you know, like you could have went, say, Mark Reynolds or something, and you could have been like, okay, I know, like, Cabrera will come around, but at least I have Mark Reynolds for the time being. Whereas you probably didn't do that. Where, you know, with some guys, like if you have someone like, say, Trey Mancini at first, you're starting him until he does well. And then when he doesn't do well, you pick up Mark Reynolds, or you pick up Joey Gallo, or you pick up, you know, Logan Morrison or something. But when you have someone like Cabrera, you're like, I don't need 27 homers from Logan Morrison. I got Cabrera. And you're just fucked. You're just totally screwed. Like, that's it. You're just like, okay, it's hard to bounce back from stuff like that. Whereas Odor, I had Odor actually on two teams where I won the league. I had him in the RCL. Where I won, and also in the NFBC league, I had Odor, and I played him probably 98% of the time. I plugged him in on opening day, and I didn't remove Odor until maybe mid September when his ankle was bothering him. I didn't mind like 30 homers and 15 steals is fine. You take the shitty average and you try and figure it out with other guys. Like, you just have to, you know, it's like anything. Like, you got to balance out your team with other players. So Odor was not great. I'm not claiming he was good. He had a very subpar year, and the average was a killer. But he wasn't death. Like it wasn't like the end of the road with Odor. If you had him in your MI or second base slot, it really wasn't that. It wasn't that bad. I know from firsthand experience. I had him, and I did fine with them on my team, both of them.
And yeah, Odor was more not for everybody. It was just more because that was like a huge sleeper call of yours. So I feel like it was your personal least valuable player. You put him in the right category.
Yeah, no, he definitely. Yeah, he disappointed for sure. No doubt he was a disappointment. But if you look at the player rater, and Odor is 18th on the second baseman. Behind him are guys like Matt Carpenter, Ian Kinsler, Sterling Castro, Vyar is behind him.
LeMahieu, but I was disappointed in LeMahieu.
Yeah, so you look at that and you hear some of those names that are behind him and you're like, well, yeah, I mean, if I had Odor and you had Matt Carpenter all year, I got more out of Odor than you got out of Carpenter. So, raspberry my lips at you. Sorry.
You know, it kind of goes into the NL least valuable players, where kind of those middle infielders. You could add Jason Kipnis to your list before. But Jonathan Villar, Trevor Story, these guys killed me. You also had Starling Marte as kind of hidden a little different because of the PEDs. But what made you put Marte on the list?
Marte was also is not as bad as Miguel Cabrera, because I think a lot of people probably just moved on. But he was a top 25 pick, and you couldn't even DL him. You lost him for 80 games. That was it. I mean, Marte was just done at the towards the end of September. I mean, excuse me, towards the end of April. So if you had Marte, I mean, more than likely you dropped him. But in some of those leagues, that's a killer. When you're expecting 15 homers and 35 steals and you get nothing because you get suspended and you have to drop them, or you're in such a deep league where you have to hold on to them on your bench. I mean, it's killer. It's not good killer, bad killer. I don't know what the youngins are saying nowadays. With killer, I don't know how they're using it as an adjective, but yeah, bad killer.
Goes both ways. Ralph, you have any least values on, you could pick, a personal favorite as well. Personal least favorite.
Sure, and I think it was mentioned on the list, but Carlos Gonzalez. Luckily, I was able to unload him somehow in Perts League, but that's a pick in the fourth round that could have killed me looking back at my draft. I mean, what an awful pick. And it's the kind of player, kind of like Mike Marte, where the best thing you could have done is drop him after the draft and add the best player available. You know, like if you had dropped him and added Cody Bellinger and honestly just had somebody on your bench that didn't play for a month, you would have been a lot better. I mean, obviously hindsight being 2020, but he was so bad. He never recovered. This wasn't supposed to happen until next year when he leaves, Colorado. I don't know. I mean, he's cost himself a lot of money, that's for sure. And I'm sure people were skeptical to begin with. But, this is a guy that even when he starts slow, he goes in these bad slumps. He typically finishes the year with, 28, 30 homers. And you didn't get that from him. And, he was just more or less, he was complete waiver wire fodder and not even a player you probably would have streamed.
Trevor Story for me was my killer. I was banking on him at shortstop everywhere. I know Gray was high on Trevor Story, too. He was my guy. My dynasty league, I took him. I spent a lot of money on him in my draft, and one of my dynasties didn't go well. He killed me. How about Story for next year, Gray? Is there a bounce back there? What do you feel on Story?
Story, I would still go in on. I think you have to. You're going to get him at a discount now because of this terrible year. I don't necessarily. I don't think he's done. I think he's. He's probably, I think he's still good for 25 plus homers, and you hope the average comes around and he gets at least, if he gets into a hot, goes on a hot streak for April or something, he could easily move up to cleanup spot in the Rockies lineup. That's, you know, that's pretty, that's a juicy spot for counting stats. Being in Coors in the summer in the cleanup spot, you're looking at easy 100 runs, 100 RBIs. So yeah, I like Trevor Story still. I think he's going to come at a decent price. Carlos Gonzalez, I think, is also similar to the Miggy situation where you're, and I mean, Ralph already said this, but you're expecting something. You're expecting a guy like Cargo to come out of it at some point in the summer, hit one of the, you know, hit one of those streaks where he gets 15 homers in a month and he pads his stats, and you're like, okay, this is why I drafted him in March. But oh, man, it never came. It's like,
yeah, he hit for average. He hit like 314 in the second half, but he still only had 8 homers.
Yeah, imagine. I mean, I'm so off of Cargo. I mean, imagine he ends up in like, yeah, I could see like, he seems like the kind of guy that Seattle or Baltimore will take a flyer on. You'll just be like, oh man, freaking Seattle, you're in your terrible picks, in your trades and your free agent signings. Oh Jesus. Yeah, I think Cargo's probably done. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll have a, you know, like a Adam Jones seem done, and then he bounced back, and he had a bit of a resurgence. So maybe Cargo can come back again, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't mess with him. That's for sure. I would stay far away. On the player Raider, he was as valuable as Brandon Belt and Chris Owings.
Who are hurt for most of the season.
Oh, man. Belt doesn't even know if he can play again. He was in so many concussions this year. I mean, yeah. Like, whoa. That is like, that's bad company. Not bad isn't good. I don't know. Are the kids saying bad isn't good anymore? No, probably not.
I think Stephen A. Smith, I'm a bad man. That's right.
Oh, man. Stephen A. Smith even congratulated me on my Tower Wars victory. Screw the rest of them.
Fuck them.
All right. RotoWare time. All right. This guy deserves an award. Kenneth Cashman, RotoWare.com. If they were given awards for best fantasy baseball t-shirt designs, he definitely gets the award. Best sponsor of the show, he gets the award. Kenneth Cashman at RotoWare, RotoWare.com. I can't stress enough that he's a graphic designer for his day job. You know, corporations, nonprofits, they pay him to come up with designs. He's doing, he's put into his passion, fantasy baseball and fantasy football for adults, for kids, for women. He's got every size in there. He's got multiple double X's and triple X's he added on. So no matter what your size is, he's got it. He's giving 15% off to everybody at Razzball. He's been doing it all year. You just have to type in promo code SAGNOFF, SAGNOF. He does giveaways on his Twitter at RotoWare. He's giving away shirts constantly, and he really is the man. I know Ralph. Ralph has like 10 of his shirts, right?
Yeah, man. I got all the shirts. I got all the shirts in doubles. He just sends them to me. I love the shirts. They look beautiful on me. And just, you know, nice material, man. Comfortable. My kids love the ones that they have. I know I've been sending out Gray some of my shirts so he can sleep in, because he was upset that he wasn't getting enough shirts from Kenny. So, you know, I got plenty to give. So that's what I'm doing here. But Kenny is the man, as you said, and as you always like to say, they look beautiful. You can wear them in a bar. You know,
finger on the
t-shirt pole. In a bar. You know, with a pair of jeans.
I did want to thank Ralph. He sent me out a pink onesie RotoWare from his daughter. It's really beautiful. I'm wearing it right now, actually. It's really nice.
Can he still
it's very breathable.
Does it fit?
Oh yeah, like a glove.
All right. So there you go. If you're, you know, whatever you're looking for, if you're a man looking for a little girl's clothing, whatever you're looking for, Kenny's got it. He's you know, equal opportunity.
Did you just say if you're a man looking for little girl's clothes?
Yeah, you know, everything's open these days. Kenny's serving the people.
I'm glad they send the advertisers send us scripts, because this is not improv, by the way. We're reading off of he wants us to say that men can buy little girls clothing on this.
Yeah, why would he? Yeah,
he loves it. That's it.
That's it. You're out in California. You should be all inclusive out there.
Yeah, Oh, hey, I'll use any bathroom I want. Thank you.
There you go. Exactly what I'm saying. So, yeah, rotoware.com, at rotoware. Check it out. Sagnoff, 15%. All right, let's get back into our end of season awards here. Let's go back to pitching. Let's talk about the AL Cy Young. Gray went with Corey Kluber, but that might have been before everything locked. Are you sticking with Kluber over Sale for your AL fantasy Cy Young?
No, I don't think so.
Wait, are you gonna flip it before you publish the article?
Yeah, this is gonna end up an outtake. No, I mean you don't have to cut this from the podcast. People, this will be like a DVD director's commentary. Yeah, people who just read the post won't have this insight.
This whole podcast feels like a director's cut commentary.
Yeah, it kind of does, you know, getting behind the scenes.
It does feel like that.
It's a look inside of everything that goes on in Razzball HQ. I like Kluber more personally because I owned him in a couple leagues, and he helped. In the leagues I owned Odor, I also owned Kluber, and I'll say Kluber is definitely more helpful. But Chris Sale did officially, he ended up a little bit higher than Kluber on the player rater. So yeah, I'm gonna flip it and I'm gonna give it to Chris Sale. I guess we let Ralph expound on Sale, since he's the Red Sox guy. Go for it, Ralphie.
But what if I really wanted to pick Kluber? And I was going to tell you, I think one of the reasons I would pick Kluber is watching Sale down the stretch in his last month. I mean, he had some rough starts. It was kind of like good start, bad start. And he had some starts where he gave up multiple homers. And if you were chasing ERA down the stretch, that might have killed you a little bit. You know, especially if you were streaming and you were, you know, counting on that consistency, and Kluber missed some time early in the season, if I'm not mistaken. And down the stretch, he was just a killer. The teams where I owned Kluber, I think those are the leagues where
it's a fair point to say that. And maybe I'll leave Kluber with the caveat, because if you think about it, like Ralph says, Kluber was out. So if you were able to stream just halfway decently in May when Kluber was on the DL, the slot where you had Kluber, that easily beat Sale, because, I mean, they are like 1A, 1B. They are so close in value. At the end of the day, Chris Sale has $37.2 in fantasy value, and Kluber has $36.9. So they're so close. I think Chris Sale, if you set him and forget it from April through September, he had better stats. I mean, it's a fact. He just had a little bit more value because of the K's. But if you're in head-to-head leagues, Kluber was easily the most valuable pitcher, just because he won people leagues from maybe end of May, whenever he got back from the DL, end of May through September, there was no one more dominant. I mean, he had an under 2 ERA. He was pushing like a 10 K rate. It was nice. It was definitely, you know, it's like when you have all those other guys that you're streaming and you're like, you just want a little bit of balance in the madness. It's nice to be able to have Kluber every fifth day go out there and give you a shutout and with 10 Ks.
Plus, if you're in playoffs too, I mean, it's a big difference to have Kluber dominate down the stretch where Sale was going back and forth. What's up, Ralph?
And what I was going to bring up too is if you actually go from June 1st when he came back off the DL on, and you go from June 4th on for Sale, he's actually a run and a half lower in ERA. 1.62 for Kluber to a 2.97 for Sale. Sale had a 13 K per nine and just under 2, 1.78 walk per nine. And if you compare that to Kluber, he was a 12.12 to a 1.24 walk per nine. And, you know, the ERA, the Ks weren't all that far off. And I haven't checked record yet, but he had 15 wins from June 1st on. Sale had 11. So there's, you know, if you look from that point on, and that's huge. That's technically where the difference is the fact that he missed that month. And if you look at the player rater, it's what, 0.3? I mean, it's a decimal point, the difference between the two of them.
It's basically a rounding error on the difference on them. I want to ask, actually, tomorrow when Truss posts the RCL recap post, I'm going to ask him in the comments if he doesn't mention it, if anyone had Kluber and Sale on their team and what they're pitching, you know, if they had anyone else. I mean, because you could have had them both. And it wouldn't have been death if you would have done well with your pickups. I mean, you could have easily had Sale, Kluber, Judge, Bellinger. I mean, you could have put together a solid team outside of just having, you know, those two aces. So I wonder if anyone was able to get both of them, because, you know, sometimes people go heavy with pitching. I don't necessarily agree with the strategy, but I'm sure someone, maybe someone did it. I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked if in an RCL there was a league where Sale was taken in the early third round and then taken in the, and Kluber was taken in the late fourth. That would be fifth. Starters drop in those leagues, especially if they're knowledgeable players, you know?
So I think Kluber, I wouldn't be surprised if Kluber went in the fifth round in probably more than half of our leagues. I think Kluber was a fourth to fifth round pick, so he could have easily fell in the fifth round. And then Chris Sale, like you said, he was like a second to third rounder. So yeah, I mean, it was possible. I don't know if anyone, because you're going heavy on pitching. Even if you did end up with the best case scenario, you are kind of you're putting aside offense a little bit when you're taking Kluber and Sale. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been death. You could have took Goldschmidt, Blackman, Sale, Kluber. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying anyone did that, but it would have been. Yeah, I think I was happy with Arenado in the first round. You know, he did extremely well, and I think he gets a little bit overlooked because he doesn't give any steals. But yeah, I mean, Arenado was great. Who else? Rizzo was fine. He wasn't bad. I think a lot of people didn't love that Rizzo wasn't amazing, but he was still fine. I mean, he came in the top 15 overall fantasy value.
And he got second base eligibility, which boosted his value.
That is so ridiculous. I still don't. I mean, that was just like the most ridiculous thing.
I had one team take off because I had like Bellinger, another first baseman. I added like, you know, guys I mentioned before, Shaw, Morris. We mentioned we rattled off a bunch of them, but I had somebody like that. And once I was able to like move on from like Odor or whoever I had at second, that was, you know, giving me something but not a ton. It was a huge boost for Rizzo, and that was the same in CBS and Yahoo where he got that.
I don't understand. And then he got ESPN. To be totally honest, I don't even understand why he got that eligibility. Because if you had, say, Elvis Andrews playing third because Beltre moved up for a bunt, he wouldn't suddenly get third base eligibility. Like, I don't understand what the thought was behind Rizzo suddenly getting second base.
There's certain umpires he had to change gloves and he had to report. So sometimes they just let him do it. There's some guys like, whatever, yeah, he's the first baseman who moved up in to play a bunt. But there were other guys that made him report and change his glove from a first base.
Oh, my God. That is so stupid. That is.
Yeah, isn't it dumb?
Yeah, it really is.
Slowing down the game. They want to find ways to not slow down the game. That seems like a huge one.
All right, next to the pitch clock, we have the first baseman changes his glove clock. Like, get the hell out of here, man. That's the most ridiculous thing. Oh, man. That annoys me. Okay. Anyway, let's let Hal post the podcast.
No, I was interested. I was going to try our Devil's Reject League that I know Ralph's in, too, with a bunch of industry guys. There was a whole email chain when Rizzo got second base eligibility trying to change the rule mid-season. People were getting crazy over the Rizzo second base thing.
Yeah,
let's stick with pitching. Let's move on to the NL Cy Youngs, because, you know, that's kind of the interesting conversation. Max Scherzer takes it, but now is Kershaw still the no doubt number one pick? Ralph, I'll start with you. Are you off Kershaw as the number one pitcher next year?
Yeah, I think I feel like I go Max Scherzer, but the thing is, he's having some health issues now too. So, that's a tough call because I actually want to draft Kluber or Sale first. You know, I just feel like the change in the guard might be there. 2 years in a row, he's had this back injury. Backs, you know, that's not like, you know, an elbow thing or a knee, and even those aren't great, obviously, but backs typically don't get better. That's a degenerative thing. And that's got to worry you a little bit. Madison Bumgarner, had he had a normal year and not crashed his motorcycle or a dirt bike, four-wheel, whatever the hell he was riding around on, that would have probably changed the outlook. If he had a full season and put up his normal, you know, sub-3 ERA, saw, you know, very nice whip, you know, nice Ks, wins, whatever, I think there could be a case made for Bumgarner, but he's going to drop down now too because, you know, though he came back and he wasn't completely terrible, you know, he had his moments where he didn't look like Bumgarner, right? So that knocks him down. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up at the top, and I think there's a lot of leagues where Kershaw probably will be the number one. I think I'd probably rank Scherzer one and go from there. I think it's a total toss-up. I think it's tough to say definitively that one guy is going to be number one, and I think Kershaw coming into the year still was number one, and it's been that for a few years. I think there's definitely chinks in the armor now.
You know, Scherzer's getting a little up there, and he's getting to that 33, 34 range. He also tweaked his hamstring, had the cracked knuckle. So I think it could seem easy that Kershaw's the injury problem, but maybe it's closer. Gray, what are you thinking on this?
I'd say that, you know, next week we're going to be doing the 2018 mock draft. So I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I'll say that I wouldn't take any pitcher in the first 15 or so picks. B, I don't think Kershaw is your number one pitcher in draft next year. I don't see it. I mean Scherzer. Ted, what's going on? Sorry, Ted was saying hello to someone. What was I saying? Oh, Scherzer. Yeah, Scherzer is. I mean, he was injured. You can't see them, but I'm doing air quotes. He was injured coming into this year, and he still had a phenomenal year. So, I think Scherzer's probably number one. With the giant asterisk that I would never draft him ever. I would draft, you know, like next year, it's so obvious. Like, I'll be looking at like Robbie Ray, Servino, maybe Strasburg if he falls, possibly, I don't know. Who else? Maybe Carlos Martinez. You know, like that's around the area where I draft my first pitcher. I ended up a Kluber this year, so it's not like I punt pitching. I draft pitching around the fifth round, and you know, this year I got Kluber. It's fifth round it's plenty. It's plenty early enough. I tell people every year, you don't have to draft a pitcher in the first 20 picks, but you know, no one listens, so whatever.
Darvish, I'm
going to be talking again too. Yu Darvish is a great call. Yeah, like someone like him and like Verlander? 75 overall, take Darvish or Verlander instead of taking Kershaw. Of course, in a second, I would do that. Yes, totally.
And then you're scooping up the Blake Snells, and I was mentioning Alex Reyes too. He could fall
completely.
Where did Alex Reyes go in these mocks? Have you got to them?
No, I haven't got the Reyes yet, but I'm planning on bagging up Reyes. I'm going to take a Patrick Corbin flyer too. I mean, he was pretty good this year. K's were back up, and it seems like whatever they're doing there in Arizona seems to be working with their pitching staff. But sure, he hasn't gotten scooped up yet, and you know, I would imagine I'll be able to grab him around round 19, 20. You know, if I'm trying to be aggressive, it's a 15 team league, so. You know, obviously the number skewed a little bit.
Oh, and someone else, speaking of Diamondbacks, Taiwan Walker's completely off everyone's radar, and he had like a 3.5 ERA this year. Totally fine. I'm not saying he's Scherzer next year, but he's totally fine as a number three starter. Like, you don't need to go like insane with your pitching. It's just not necessary.
Yeah. All right. I think we hit the high points. I think it's a good place to end. Gray, I mean, we have our finale next week, so it's not quite the end, even though this is Rue. But any last words on this one, Gray?
No, we'll be doing a mock draft 2018. We're going to try and get through, 24 picks, maybe two rounds? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll go the hour. We'll see how long it takes.
I mean, we may only get three picks in.
That's nine guys.
Okay, so we debated Charlie Blackman a little bit longer than I expected, but yeah, there's your first three picks. Goodbye.
Ralph, any last words for the people?
No, thanks for reading all my material this year. I got a lot of prospect stuff that's going to be coming out. We got our mock next week. Halp and I are going to be busy throughout the offseason, finishing up these positional ranks, maybe going to the top 100. We're going to do a prospect mock. Probably cover it, do it off air, and then sort of cover it on air, and then go through all 30 systems. So I'm pumped, buddy. Are you?
There you go. I'm pumped. There's the Prospect Podcast plug. That was the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast 2017 recap. Gray Albright, Michael Halpern, Ralph Lifshitz. Thank you, SeatGeek. Thank you, RotoWare. And most importantly, thank you to the listeners. All right, later, guys.
Thanks.